Saying got what you want out of me. Took me for the ride, but you never bought a saying goodbye. No return, I burn everything you learned. Pull me in attention, now you got some more attention from me. But I'd do it again. Cause when she starts leaving, my heart stops beating once again.
Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Rock Review.
So I got what I want out of you, but I choose to keep it real close. Keep it so nobody knows what I have, it's all that I have it from you. But I'm so afraid of losing.
This opening is brought to us by Five Times August. Name of the song, Do It Again. We'll be hearing more from Five Times August later on in today's program, and he will close out today's program as well. But first, these trivia questions. Our trivia questions today are brought to us by FunTrivia.com. And they're both multiple-choice questions. First question, Jimmy Page is widely regarded as one of the greatest guitarists ever because of his work with Led Zeppelin. But what band was he in before Led Zeppelin? Was it A, Geordi, B, Iron Butterfly, C, Yes, or D, The Yardbirds? Question number two, which Pink Floyd song features the lyrics, No One Told You When to Run, You Missed the Starting Gun? Was that A, Another Brick in the Wall, B, Dark Side of the Moon, C, Sheep, or D, Time? Answers to these two important trivia questions will be given at the end of today's program. The transition section of today's program is brought to us once again by BGORecords.com. Today in rock history. And today is January 9th and January 10th. What were the number one hits this weekend? Well, back in 1958, it was Jerry Lee Lewis with Great Balls of Fire. And back in 1961, it was Burt Kampfert with Wonderland by Night. And number one hit this weekend back in 1981... was John Lennon's Imagine. If you were born on January the 9th, you share a birthday with Les Paul, the great guitarist. He was born on January 9th, 1915. Also January 9th, a couple of other biggies, Joan Baez, born on January 9th, 1941. Jimmy Page, born on January 9th, 1945. And Dave Matthews, born on January 9th, 1968. If you were born on January 10th, you also share birthdays with important rock stars. And that includes Jim Croce, who was born on 1942 on January 10th, Time in a Bottle. And Rod Stewart, born on that same day, January 10th, 1945, Maggie May. Donald Fagen from Steely Dan, also born on January 10th, 1948. And Pat Benatar, Love is a Battlefield, also born on January 10th, 1953. On January 10th, we also saw the death of Howlin' Wolf, the blues musician. He died on January 10th, 1976. Rock miscellany this weekend. Well, it was back in 1956 this weekend that Elvis Presley records I Got a Woman and Heartbreak Hotel during his first ever session at RCA Studios in Nashville. Back in 1964, this weekend, it was the Ronettes hitting the chart with Baby, I Love You. Back in 65, a year later, the Zombies hit the chart for the second time with Tell Her No this weekend. And back in 68, Aretha Franklin earns her fourth gold single with Chain of Fools. 1971 this weekend, it was Bob Dylan accompanying country star Earl Scruggs on East Virginia Blues and Nashville Skyline Rag for a public documentary. Back in 1971, that same year, on this same weekend, it was Judy Collins entering the U.S. Top 40 with Amazing Grace. Back in 73, the Rolling Stones' plans for a Far Eastern tour are disrupted when Mick Jagger is refused a Japanese visa on account of a 1969 drug bust. Jagger is quoted as saying, "I don't take drugs, don't approve of drugs, and I don't approve of people taking drugs unless they're very careful." Back in 1979, this weekend, a benefit concert called A Gift of Song, the Music of UNICEF concert, is held at the United Nations General Assembly in New York. The bill includes ABBA, the Bee Gees, Rod Stewart, Olivia Newton-John, Rita Coolidge, Donna Sumner, John Denver, Kris Kristofferson, and Earth, Wind, and Fire. The show raises about $500,000. Back on 1981 this weekend, it was John Lennon and Yoko Ono's Double Fantasy going platinum a month after Lennon's assassination. The album stays at number one for 8 weeks. Back in 1981 this weekend, it was The Pirates of Penzance by Gilbert and O'Sullivan. Opens on Broadway starring pop singers Linda Ronstadt and Rex Smith. The show will later be made into a movie starring Smith and Ronstadt. Back in 1987, this weekend, it was Walk Like an Egyptian at number one in the U.S. for the fourth straight week. The Bangles equaled the longest run at the top by a girl group. Previous record was held by the Chiffons, the Supremes, and Emotions. Back in 1997, this weekend, finally, the Godfather of Soul, James Brown, gets his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. In contemporary rock news with a local twist, we see this article that originally appeared in the fall issue of the NC State Alumni Magazine, and it's written by Ryan Green, entitled, "On the Rise, Thinking Outside of the Box and Being Open-Minded Are Things I Learned and Have Continued to Live By and Learn By as I Get Older." This is Kyler England, class of 1998, NCSU, College of Humanities and Social Science graduate. If you tune in Grey's Anatomy or Ghost Whisperer, chances are you've heard the music of Kyler England, 98. Since her days as a Caldwell Fellow, England has flourished in the alternative rock music scene in Los Angeles and was named one of Music Connection's Hot 100 Unsigned Artists of 2007. Her songs from her latest album, Simple Machine, her fifth studio release, have popped up on numerous TV shows and earned her a spot as a finalist for Indie Acoustic Project's 2008 Best Female Songwriter. She's also a member of The Rescues, a band that the California-based Easy Reader Independent newspaper described as the first indie supergroup. Listen to the group's concert for NPR's Mountain Stage Music Program, which describes The Rescues' music as similar to Fleetwood Mac and the Eagles. How did you become interested in music? There's never been a moment in my life when music wasn't a part of the landscape. My dad, William Austin England, class of 72, was a trombone player in the NC State Marching Band when he was in college. When I was a little kid, he still had his trombone, and he would get it out sometimes and play for us. He would march up and down the hallway, and we would follow him as if we were part of the marching band, and we loved that. I started writing songs in high school. One night, I picked up my dad's old guitar from college. I was procrastinating on my calculus homework. I was like, I think I'm just going to learn to play the guitar. I started gigging when I was at NC State, doing things like the coffee shack on campus. I got the bug. But I can't look back and say I had a plan, because for a career like this, there's no set plan. You have to blaze your own path, so I just went for it. What do you enjoy about your career? I still am always excited about writing a song that I love. That's like opening a present on Christmas. Playing with The Rescues is so rewarding these days, and things are really going well with my songs being used on TV. I want not just to make a living, but to make a life in music, and that's where I'm at now. That's an incredible feeling because I just don't know what else I'd do. How did your Caldwell experience benefit you? You got to be stubborn and brave. You have to not take no for an answer. I've always been super driven and overachieving. The Caldwell Fellows program definitely brought those qualities out in me. It's made me strong and hardworking and discipline. Thinking outside of the box and being open-minded are things I learned and have continued to live by and learn by as I get older. Kyler England, by the way, performed October 2nd at NC State's Titmus Theater. This next article was published on December 16, 2009 in NewsObserver.com, entitled "The Truth Hurts Classical Radio." American men have a naughty little secret. Sometimes they like to relax with a little Celine Dion. Professed classical music fans have one, too. As it turns out, they don't tune in to classical radio nearly as much as they claim. These are two of the many findings shaking up the radio industry as it converts from measuring ratings through surveys to monitoring listeners electronically using so-called portable people meters. As radio executives are discovering, what people say they do and what they actually do is different, especially where "My Heart Will Go On" is concerned. The more men are mellowing out to air supply than are willing to admit it is a curious discovery. But the new system has serious repercussions, especially for classical radio. When 12 major areas, including New York and Los Angeles, switched to the system last year, classical radio's market share fell 10.7% in those areas, a significant drop, according to a study by Research Director, a ratings consultancy. The numbers are part of what an industry consultant, Mark Hahn, calls a smorgasbord of issues facing commercial classical music stations. In the last year, major commercial stations, including WCRB in Boston and WQXR in New York, were both sold to public radio operators, while KFUO in St. Louis was sold to a Christian broadcaster. WQXR was owned by the New York Times Company. "There are now only about 20 commercial classical stations in the country," said Hand, the managing director of Public Radio Capital, which advises nonprofit stations on acquisitions. The decline has concerned classical fans who see radio as an important civilizing force, its education, but also expanding horizons, understanding the existence of a whole host of art forms that are extremely related and important to our cultural history. Joseph W. Polisi, president of Juilliard School, says. Other findings: talk radio turns out to have fewer fans than previously thought. The market share of talk radio declined 2.6% in the study of cities where the meters were used. Michael Harrison, publisher of the trade magazine Talkers, cautioned that Arbitron's sample size in markets using the meter was relatively small. The new ratings have contributed to other shifts. Mainstream formats like oldies, news, and country have fared better. Meanwhile, smooth jazz has hit a low note. Clear Channel jettisoned such programming from 8 of its stations after dismal ratings. Some Spanish-language stations' ratings declined sharply. At Univision's KLVE in Los Angeles, for example, ratings fell 54% in the first quarter of 2009 from the same period the year before, leading it and other broadcasters to testify before Congress on December 2nd that the new system is discriminatory. The television industry switched from diary entries to metered ratings in 1987 and saw similarly surprising changes, but it took the radio industry almost 2 decades to catch up. This next article is brought to us by ClassicRock.About.com by Dave White, entitled "Music of the Decade, New in 2000, Classic Rock in the New Millennium." It may have been the dawn of a new millennium century decade, but our musical roots were still firmly planted in classical rock. Among Y2K's top 10 best-selling albums were Santana's Supernatural, and One, a compilation of the Beatles' hit singles from 4 decades earlier. And several classic rock veterans released some interesting new albums. So what else happened 10 years ago? Back in 2000, well, we see AC/DC, Stiff Upper Lip. AC/DC's 14th studio album peaked at number 7 on the Billboard 200 with the title track Stiff Upper Lip, reaching number 1 on the mainstream rock track chart. The album threw off 3 other singles, Satellite Blues, Meltdown, and Safe in New York City, whose title and subject would become highly ironic and mildly controversial on September 11th the following year. Alice Cooper, Brutal Planet. As the title suggested, Alice Cooper's 21st studio album was typically dark, but it dealt boldly with issues like domestic and school violence and biblical morality. Brutal Planet came 6 years after The Temptation, by far the longest hiatus between studio releases of his entire career. B.B. King and Eric Clapton back in 2000, Riding with the King. 3 years after Eric Clapton performed on B.B. King's Deuces Wild album, and more than 30 years after the two struck up a personal friendship, the two guitar legends recorded an album together. Riding with the King featured performances by a couple more accomplished guitarists, Jimmy Vaughn and Andy Fairweather Lowe. At the 2001 Grammys Award, the album was named Best Traditional Blues Album. Iron Maiden, Brave New World. Y2K and Brave New World saw a rebirth of sorts for the venerable metal band Iron Maiden. The album marked the return of lead singer Bruce Dickinson and guitarist Adrian Smith, both of whom had left the band in the early 90s. The album, whose title and cover art were based on Aldous Huxley's futuristic 1932 novel of the same name, was the first to feature the band's three-guitar configuration. Also, back in the year 2000, we see Kansas with Somewhere to Elsewhere. Somewhere to Elsewhere generated a lot of buzz because it reunited all of the original members of Kansas who were there at the beginning in 1973. In a sign of a trend that was to take off in earnest in a few years, the album peaked at number 13 among albums sold on the Internet. All of songs on the album were written by the band's primary 70s composer, Kerry Livgren. King Crimson, The Construction of Light. Longtime improvisational prog rockers King Crimson took a hard rock turn with their 2000 release, The Construction of Light. The band's 12th studio album was made up of new material, although the fact that a good portion of it represented either reworking of previous material, fractured, or continuations of ongoing series, Larks, Tongues, and Aspic, caused some critics to decry an apparent lack of new ideas. Pink Floyd, Is There Anybody Out There? The Wall, Live, 1980-81. The calendar said 2000, but it was live performances from 20 years earlier that Pink Floyd released to usher in the new decade. The two discs featured live performances of all the songs from the original 1979 release, The Wall, performed at Earl's Court in London. The live album peaked at number 1 on the Internet album chart and number 19 on the Billboard 200. Steely Dan, Two Against Nature. Two Against Nature was something of a milestone for Steely Dan, Walter Becker, and Donald Fagen, in that it was their first studio album released in 20 years. It also turned out to be a surprise hit, winning 4 Grammy Awards, including Album of the Year. It also charted higher than all of the duo's previous albums except Aja in 1977. Neil Young, Silver and Gold. Neil Young began the decade the way he's ending it, with a steady output of a new studio, live, and archival releases. 2000's Silver and Gold was an retrospective exercise in which lyrical themes range from family to aging to a wistful ditty about a Buffalo Springfield reunion. It was Young's 27th solo studio album release. This next article was published in the News and Observer on the 2nd of December, 2009, entitled Facebook Puts Heat on Singer, The Associated Press. John Mellencamp's 14-year-old son has started a social networking campaign on Facebook that he hopes will get his rocker dad to quit smoking. The 58-year-old Mellencamp has said many times since his 1994 heart attack that he's failed in trying to kick his decades-old habit. Mellencamp's youngest son, Speck, says his dad has promised to quit if he gets 1 million people to join the Facebook group. More than 16,000 people had joined the group as of Tuesday evening. Mellencamp publicist Bob Media told the Associated Press that the challenge is legitimate. The Facebook group is called 1 Million to Join. My Dad, John Mellencamp, Will Quit Smoking. So who is this group, Five Times August, that opened today's program and will close it as well? Well, they're from Dallas, Texas, and their genre is pop acoustic. Their years active have been 2001 to the present. They have no label. Five Times August is the name of a music project by Dallas, Texas independent singer-songwriter-guitarist Brad Skistimus. He was born August 5, 1983 in Louisville, Texas. Every song off the album, The Independent, was placed on popular MTV programming like Laguna Beach, The Real Orange County. He is also the first unsigned act to get national distribution in Walmart stores. Five Times August's latest album, Brighter Side, was released on March 18, 2008, with further distribution in Best Buy, Borders, and FYE stores. The latest album, Life as a Song, was released on iTunes October 13, 2009. Amazon.com produced the following editorial review of Five Times August. After selling over 100,000 digital downloads without a record label, having every song from his last album placed on various TV programs, MTV's Real World, the CW's One Tree Hill, Oxygen Channel's Bad Girls Club, Fox's Realities, The Amazing Adventures of a Nobody, and many more, and touring 43 of the 50 states in 2007 alone, one can only wonder what will be accomplished next. Over 13,000 CDs sold independently, held number 3 unsigned artist worldwide, on MySpace for 10 months, number 1 unsigned acoustic and pop artist worldwide on MySpace, number 1 artist at awarestore.com and isound.com, over 11 million plays on MySpace Player, and 62,000 friends. So let's take a listen to some of these songs by Five Times August. This first one is entitled, Up to Me.
You wanna feel loose, you wanna see how I'm abused, I see. You wanna get faded, you never wanna concentrate on me. I'm too much of an angel, I'm too much of a saint, though I can't be. I'm too much of a reject, you don't expect much from.
And now we'll listen to a snippet from One Way Road.
So I'm giving what you want, but I can't get my hands on what you've got. You big teaser, playing games, but I can play them too, I'm just the same. You're moving on, I see it, but my eyes, they don't believe it, cause inside I feel there ain't nothing more real. So I've been waiting and I want you to know, your love is irreplaceable inside of my emotions. But this falling is getting old, so bye-bye love, it's a one-way road.
And now we'll hear a snippet from Save It for Later.
Look at me, do you see anything you want add to? When I look at you, unheard, a verse that I should say to you, but there's just no use. Ooh, tonight, time
shy around the edge till I know what I should mention. And my thoughts still are catching up to leave my mouth. I'm thinking I should wait, but it's getting kind of late. And I sure have been a hate to leave the same old way tonight.
And we'll close out today's program with Luckiest of Suckers. All of the songs up till now have been from 2009. But first, these reviews from the best of the decade. And this is Entertainment Weekly. And we see the Pixies, Minotaur. And there's not a drop of new music in this enormous box, just the albums that the pioneering weirdos released between 1987 and 1991 in CD, Blu-ray, and vinyl formats, plus a live DVD. Each of those LPs is a classic, but the $495 price might seem high until you factor in the stunning visuals that fill the 25-pound package. Designer Von Oliver and photographer Simon Larbalester, who did the original album's packaging, have created a wealth of wonderfully macabre imagery for the books that are Minotaur's real reason for being. In addition, with fewer extras, is available for $175. Just don't stare too long if you're prone to nightmares. That's given an A by SVL, and she says, download this, Caribou. Once again, that's the Pixies, Minotaur. From that same issue of Entertainment Weekly, we see this review by Melissa Merez, and she gives an A to Animal Collective, Fall Be Kind. For some, Animal Collective are the next Grateful Dead, psychedelic improvisers whose expert chuglin has earned near-religious devotion from long-haired fans. So when this five-song EP breaks into a sample from the Dead's Unbroken Chain, the first such use ever approved by the band on What Would I Want, Sky, it's a perfect circle, somewhere between AC's tribal rhythms and Phil Lesh's mellifluous vocals is the sound of a generation gap closing. Everything else, from the revelatory drone of Bleed to the fractalized sense of I Think I Can, just feels brand new. She says, download this, What Would I Want, Sky. So how did you do on the trivia questions from today? Well, the first question was, Jimmy Page is widely regarded as one of the greatest guitarists ever because of his work with Led Zeppelin. But what band was he in before Led Zeppelin? Gordy? No. Iron Butterfly? Uh-uh. Yes? No. The Yardbirds? That's the correct answer. And after the Yardbirds split, Jimmy Page formed another band and toured once under the name the New Yardbirds. They then changed their name to Led Zeppelin. And the second question, which Pink Floyd song featured the lyrics, No One Told You When to Run, You Missed the Starting Gun? Was that Another Brick in the Wall? No. Was it Dark Side of the Moon? No. Was it Sheep? No. It was, in fact, answer D, Time. If you said Dark Side of the Moon, you should not be taking this quiz, as it is not a song, but it is the name of the album which Time comes from. It is considered one of the best rock albums of all time.
So what you've been doing to me has got to be the greatest unknown. And what you've been trying to keep, I bet you didn't mean to let go. Now it's obvious that my loneliness is irrelevant, but I can't let it show. I'm writing you letters, making things better, but you'll never be the same to me. Baby, you changed me for good.
Wow. Run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. So long until...
But I do feel like the luckiest of suckers to lose. So what you've been saying to me so playfully is so painfully erasing away.
Every day is the same, it's a game, it's a shame, but don't blame me, cause it came to me. Baby, you've changed me for good. It's understood, you don't want
next time.
Me.